Good evening, our beautiful friends out there. Today is Saturday. One of our favorite times of the week, isn't it, Richard?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Well, do we have some excitement tonight? You know, I say that every week because the people that we connect with on the other side are just so special in so many ways. And if you get our emails, you know that tonight we have here a beautiful woman, Amelia Earhart, one of the perhaps most famous female pilots. And her demise, her loss, was something that caused great searches. And there never was, you might say, a definitive agreement on what happened to her. And tonight, you can ask all of your questions, and we can discuss that last flight of hers, among other things. And if you understand how we work, you can perhaps pick up her energy, because how you do that is you see her picture or what she looked like in your third eye. And there are plenty of photographs about her. And you call quietly her name. And you might very well be connected to her as Richard is going to connect with her right now. And so, Richard, if you'd be kind enough to call Amelia and tell us what you feel about her energy.
Yes, I've been sitting here connecting with her for a while, and she has this beautiful energy. I experience it very centrally, which says to me she was quite heart-focused, and I sense a lot of integrity about her. I suspect that she meant what she said, and she said what she meant. Very direct and honest woman would be my sense. It does not surprise me that she was quite spirited and quite driven. There is this focus about her energy that is expressed in this way. Really very, very pure energy, very clear energy. As I say, I have this strong sense that she said what she meant and meant what she said. That you would be under no illusion about where she stood and what she felt about things. Very direct, I sense. Very interesting.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I was feeling this sincerity about her also when you were, right before you started working with her energy, there was a sincerity, a truth about her.
Yes, it's a good word.
And so she said she had a message for our radio audience, and I certainly have questions, and hopefully you will call your questions in about her life and her times. And so, Richard, if you'd be kind enough to give us her message, we certainly would appreciate it.
Let's see what she has to say. My dear friends, and I call you my friends because I have what you might consider a very strong interest, a strong benevolence towards humanity and people on the planet at this time. And I wanted to begin by perhaps sharing a little about my personal journey, much of which has been written about in many forms. Some aspects have not been, because I feel they may be of interest to some of you listening. History has recorded that I had something of a challenging childhood in the sense that my parents' relationship was relatively unstable. And in a sense that created some difficulties, but its key benefit in a way for me was that it helped me to be very self-reliant, very independent in a way. Yes, my mother worked very hard to provide a strong context for myself and my sister. However, those uncertainties and difficulties with my father, who was an alcoholic, meant that I developed a level of self-reliance that perhaps would not have been so well formed at a young age. And this stood me in good stead for the path that I walked. So I have no regrets about those challenges of my childhood, because in a sense I used them to strengthen myself, to steel myself, to grasp the possibilities that might emerge in my life. And in his own way, my father supported me getting started in my flame. And so I have always appreciated the contributions that each of my parents in their own way made to my development. And so I wanted to mention this. And as you would appreciate, at the time I began flying, it was not something that women, for the most part, did. Indeed, as history has recorded, I was something of a pioneer in that regard, and I was very fortunate to be,
yeah, I wasn't hearing what you were saying. Can you fix it? Well, apparently Richard's is having trouble with his computer. So hopefully you're hearing me. I'm going to trust, but even though Richard's computer died, mine hasn't. And so I was very much intrigued with Amelia Earhart for many reasons. She was a great model for the woman at a time when women weren't doing such adventurous things. And I had read about her perhaps going down in the Pacific, but there has been a lot of controversy around that. And after Richard connects and he takes this message from her, I'm going to discuss some of these controversial items that have come up around her life. Number one, was she spying at the request of the United States? As far as the Japanese were concerned, was she, in fact, when she went into the water in the Pacific, was she somehow retrieved by the Japanese? And was she executed by the Japanese as a spy? So outside of the fact that she had one magnificent career as far as a female pilot, was she actually working to gather information to help our country during the Second World War? So hopefully we will take her message that Richard will get online, get his computer up and working, and take her message and then find out some information about these particular items. You see, these are things that we really have no proof. The reason that I bring it up, because of films that have been made, stories written, and this could all be accurate or have some basis of accuracy, or it could be some author's what shall we say, whimsy. After all, she was a famous aviator. And I read something interesting about that, is that she had some resemblance to Lindbergh. And, of course, Lindbergh was the first one to make the long flights setting records. And Amelia Earhart was the first female aviator to do some of the most magnificent flights that Charles Lindbergh had done. So these two were connected very much in their occupations, but I thought it was rather intriguing that they resembled one another. I was reading some information from the encyclopedia about her, and they mentioned that, so that the two were dubbed with the name of Lucky in their name that the press called them. Richard, how are we doing on the computer? We're having any success?
We are. In fact, I think you'll find I'm back online.
Good.
Thank goodness.
Good. I don't have to.
Technology. Goodness gracious.
Yeah, when it works, it's marvelous, isn't it?
It is.
Okie dokie. So, let's get back with her message.
I was discussing some of the elements that contributed to my life, and I was saying that, in a way, I was very fortunate to be promoted, to be publicized through my husband, George, because he supported what I wanted to do very strongly, and because of his background as a publisher, was able to promote my activities and indeed organized quite a lot of what I undertook. And so I was, in that way, very fortunate. And I do wish to address the uncertainties which exist around what happened to me. Because as most of you who have an interest in my exploits will know, I disappeared over the Pacific as I was seeking to circumnavigate the planet. And indeed, what occurred was that, very much as it has been portrayed in the recent movie about my life, we set off and we had less than ideal weather conditions, and so we essentially got lost in looking for the island and finished up having to ditch at sea because we ran out of fuel. And so after a time, we both passed as a result of that ditching. We did survive the ditching, but we did not survive the sea for all that long. So there has been much speculation about what happened to us. So that is the truth of the matter. There has been speculation, as Carolyn was mentioning, that in some way we were captured by the Japanese. And this really was efforts to, in a sense, fearmonger in retrospect, you might say, because, in a sense, the activities of the Japanese in terms of that area emerged a little later than the time that we were flying. So we were not under threat in that way. So it simply was a matter of, in a sense, losing our way in difficult flying conditions and missing the island. So that is a very simple story of what happened to me. And the reason I was keen to come forth was not really so much to talk about my life so much, but really to, in a sense, talk a little about the example that I represented, in the sense that I learnt through my challenges as a child, if you like, great self-reliance, as I mentioned, and I learned how to grasp for what I felt was important and to go for it, but also to assist others to do the same, particularly other women. And you are in a time which has great challenges. The powers that have controlled the planet for so long feel that they are on the edge of their ultimate victory, and yet there are those who are well aware that the forces that have been directing them have lost their power. And so those who are ultimately in charge of that agenda know that they are about to fail just as they are about to succeed. And the reason I raise this is that those of you that have a sense of yourselves, that have built a sense of your own strength, of your own self-reliance, your own ability to rely on the truth of who and what you are, that this time will be an important one where you demonstrate leadership to those around you, in a sense, in a way that I did in my life. I'm not saying that I was particularly spiritual, because I was not. Indeed, I was very, you might say, goal-oriented in a traditional Western world sense. But I was also driven to contribute to others. And so I encourage you, those of you who have developed that sense of yourselves, as you've opened up your understanding, you might say spiritual understanding of who and what you are, the truth of who and what you are, that you will be the leaders as events unfold. And so I encourage you to follow my example, if you will, in the sense of displaying leadership and direction to those around you, that those towards those that are drawn to you, that are looking for some kind of direction and support in their lives. Be the beacon that you can be for them. Because I realize that in hindsight, I was very driven to do this within my own life, to help others to move forward and to claim their own sense of purpose, their own sense of their own power. And this is a very important thing to be doing in this time, when those who seek to control humanity have worked very hard to disempower everyone. And most who are listening to this either live now or later will be people who have already developed some sense of yourselves and the sense of the leadership that you carry. So bring that to others as events unfold, because people will begin to come to you as this change flows through. And so this is my message to you, my friends.
Thank you. You really have cleared up the questions that we have. So the different writers that were speculating about the what happened on that flight, we know were not accurate. And that in itself is some great information to bring to the mix, so to say, because some of the theories that were brought forth were plausible because of the time frame in history. And so we thank you for all of that. I would like to ask you something a little bit different, Amelia. And I would like to talk about inspiration, because you certainly were an inspiration to all during your lifetime. Would you address that title, that thought a little bit, inspiration. How does one inspire themselves with the drive to create and to accomplish and also give inspiration to others? What's your belief about that?
In my view, the first step is to develop a sense of yourself, your sense of your own value. However you achieve that, as I explained in my case, it grew initially from the sense that I needed at a young age to develop that sense of self-reliance. And having begun to develop that, when I found something that I was passionate about, I grabbed it with both hands. And as I said, to an extent, my parents supported me in making that step. So it was that combination of developing a sense of belief in myself, of learning to rely on myself, to trust myself, and combining that with a passion, something that I felt driven to do, that I was excited to do. And in a sense, these things are important in everyone's life. Those of you that are walking a spiritual path have a different mechanism by which to develop that sense of self-worth, self-reliance, self-trust, faith in yourself. You come to it by, in a sense, going within in that traditional way and building that sense and healing yourself, forgiving yourself, loving yourself, and knowing that you are far, far greater than what you take yourself to be as this physical human being, because all of that is true. And as you build that sense of self-reliance or self-worth in whatever way that you go about it, to then get clear about what it is that you are passionate about. And for many of you listening to this, your passion, because of the journey that you are walking, is the unfolding of the changes that are coming forth in your world. And so I encourage you to be ready, be prepared by, in a sense, making sure that you've done your homework, you've completed your own healing, you have learnt as much about yourself as you can in whatever way that you can. And the tools and services that Carolyn and Richard offer are very powerful ways to assist you in doing this, because they too are driven to assist those around them to grow and to heal and to understand themselves so they can be strong in their own self-belief and self-understanding and self-worth. So these things are all important to build and to put in place. And then as events unfold, as you begin to see the truth of things, then embrace that truth and stand in that truth and its power. And people will come to you just as they came to me. I did not go out searching for people to guide and to contribute to and to assist. They came to me because of where I stood and how I stood. And so this is my counsel to you. And in a sense, this is a message too about leadership. Leadership is really leadership of self, and others may choose to join you and walk the path behind you. But it, as a leader, is about choosing your path and walking that path and relying on the fact that the truth of who and what you are and the truth that you speak inspires others to follow in your footsteps.
Thank you, Amelia. One of the other questions that we have is how you prepared for this lifetime that you lived before you actually were born. But what we're going to do now is take a caller's question. And Jessica is on line one. Jessica,
hi.
Welcome.
Hi.
What's your question of Amelia, dear?
Those of us who you have encouraged, you and Richard have encouraged to give our information to Richard based on the fact that he determined that we were, I think the word is a cherub, what will we be doing and when will we be doing it?
I'm going to turn that question over to Richard. Would you be kind enough to answer, Jessica?
Well, Jessica, firstly, it's not a cherub, but a cherubim. It's a different thing.
Okay.
And in simple terms, you know, there was a time when we thought that it would involve training work in the sense of running events prior to the last solstice in December, but indeed that did not unfold. And so really, it's not, at this moment, I'm not clear exactly how all this will unfold for any particular individual, but what I will say is that all of the cherubim are all actively working, in a sense, in the preparation and supporting what's unfolding, because all of the cherubim actually are doing the key work that they came to do in the initial phase of all of this in their sleep time. So even though you don't feel like you're doing much, you are. Mm. And how it will unfold as events unfold, Jessica, I at this point have no idea.
And, I would like to. Oh, I'm sorry, Richard, I thought you were finished.
And so as events unfold, as we see things unfold, then clearly we will come forth and explain how we understand it as we see things progressing. Carolyn?
Very interesting, yes. Because I've been keeping a dream journal, and my dreams have been quite interesting to me lately, so that's good information.
That's great, Jessica. Dream journals are wonderful, but I wanted to add something to what Richard was saying. We have three conference calls monthly. One is with Archangel Michael. The other is with usually some female guide, which many times is Mother Mary or Isis, and also Lord Metatron. And there is an incredible... Do you, by the way... Have you joined? I suspect perhaps you haven't joined any of those conference calls. Am I correct, Jessica? I'm not hearing her. She must have hung up. But I will finish this for the other listeners, because this is work that the cherubim are doing. And they come to those conference calls and... whose conference, the one who is leading the conference call, Richard and I speak to, just like Richard is demonstrating this call with Amelia Earhart. And they give us information about what is currently happening in the world. And as a group, we meditate to make changes in the world. So I feel that this is something that we are doing, the cherubim are doing, that is very important. Jessica, are you there or have you left? I'm not getting an answer from Jessica, so I'm assuming that she has left. And I put that out to those who are listening. If you are not on any of those conference calls, consider joining them, because it is a moment when the cherubim get together and they feel each other's energy. They work, even if somebody has a personal problem that they need to overcome, they do get help from this group. But since Jessica is not there, what I want to do is go back to Amelia Earhart. And, Richard, what I want to ask Amelia is if she prepared, which I believe she did because this seems to be the method, if on the other side before she came, was born on Earth, her soul would have done some preparation work, direction, forming alliances with others who would come with her and help her with her mission. And so I want to ask Amelia, before she came to Earth, what was the mission that she planned? And what choices had she made before she was born on Earth? So, Richard, if you could connect with Amelia and ask her this, I would appreciate it.
It is an interesting question that you ask, because few of humanity recognize at this time that they indeed prepare for their lifetime ahead of time. They choose their parents, usually from, say, three or so options. And the key elements of their lives are pre-planned. Most of the people that you connect up with in life, you have made a pre-birth agreement to connect with. So there is a great deal of pre-planning, you might say, that goes on. That does not mean that every step in your life is predefined, because it isn't. You have free will and you make choices within the spectrum. And so, yes, I pre-planned my life, and I chose a life where I would demonstrate leadership to particularly other women, to everyone really, but particularly to women, to demonstrate that you could walk a different path. You could choose to claim your power as a woman on your own terms. And the area that I operated in as a pilot and as a groundbreaking pilot, you might say, was an area that was seen to be a male-dominated arena, and yet really there is nothing about flying that requires particular strength or whatever of the physical form. Yes, it requires endurance at times and the ability to focus, but really that is not something that men are better at than women. So really it was not a field that was by definition something where men necessarily are better at it than women. So in a sense, I chose to walk a path, to live a life that was one of leadership. And the reason why I can speak about my childhood and the contributions made by both of my parents to the growth of my self-reliance at a young age was really because I chose them for that reason. I chose them because they would develop that self-reliance in me. They would encourage it in a sense, not perhaps in a direct way, but more so in an indirect way because of their own challenges within their own lives and their life together. So you could say I had chosen to be a pilot, walking the kind of path that I walked, and chose my parents to support me in that. And I recognize now that it was one of the reasons I felt so excited and so driven to become a pilot when I first experienced flying. It was just so clear it was what I wanted to do. And the reason for that was because it was so strongly in alignment with the path that I had chosen before I was born. And this indeed is true for everyone on the planet. When you feel this passion emerge within you in regard to something in your life, it is almost certainly something that you have chosen before you came to actually do. And so that in itself is one of the reasons why it is important to pursue things that you feel passionate about, because it has this congruence with your life path. It is why you feel this way. And an element of that drive is that intuition, that intuitive sense that you have about its truth within you. It is an intuitive response, and that is a response that is informed by your life path and perhaps to an extent by those beings that are supporting you, perhaps your soul, your higher self, your guardian angel, or other individuals that have an interest to see you moving forward. All of these prompt you through that intuitive sense. I am perhaps getting a little further into things than your question asked, but I feel it is relevant to understand all of these threads.
I think it's relevant also, and I think it's very important information to our listeners. Thank you, Amelia. Now, we have a lady by the name of Charlie on line two. Welcome, Charlie. What is your question, dear?
So I was speaking of inspiration, as you were just discussing. I actually started ground school this week, and it was in part financed by the 99s. And I'm doing my discovery flight tomorrow morning, which is the first time I get to actually take control of an airplane for a few minutes during my flight. And
that's
it was
exciting.
Completely inspired. It is really exciting. So I wanted to know, what kind of advice would Amelia have for me?
Well, we'll be glad to ask her, Charlie, but something that I would like for you to mention to our audience is explain to them what the 99s mean.
It's the International Organization of Women Pilots, and it was actually established by Amelia Earhart.
I thought that was what you were referring to, but I wanted you to bring that in. So, Richard, do you have an answer from Amelia?
Charlie, I can tell that you are passionate about learning to fly also. And my simple advice to you is trust what you feel, to progress as you feel drawn to take the opportunity, to make of it what is yours to make of it, to bring the joy and the excitement into your life that flying can be and will be to you. And that is my advice to you.
Thank you, Amelia. And Charlie, I think this is such wonderful advice from Amelia, because every person must find what they're passionate about, what they can to bring excitement into their life and to bring joy. And I can tell you're going to have a lot in your life. So bless you, Charlie. Enjoy what you're doing, dear. So I don't see anyone else wishing to ask Amelia a question. Richard, did you have any question for Amelia?
I can't say I do, Carolyn. It's pretty hard when I'm in the middle of this to
okay, now I understand.
I know you do.
I understand that, Richard. I'm sorry. And, well, I would like to thank Amelia for being here, giving us this inspiration, and you, Richard, for taking these messages from her. We all really appreciate it. Something that I do want to discuss about Richard. Put you on the spot.
You're having fun with that the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yes, I love having fun with that. Richard is working from the right side of his brain. In other words, we have a right and a left side, as you are aware. And when he works with Amelia and gets this information and tells you her answers and discusses her energy as he connects with her, he's working from the right side of the brain. And he is a master at teaching this to others. I want all of you to understand how exciting this is, not just to talk to others on the other side. That is exciting. But learning how to communicate with any form of consciousness. And everything about us has a consciousness, whether it is a plant, a mineral like a rock or a crystal, a tree. It's exciting when you open up your awareness not only to your body, what your body wants, what it needs, something that is affecting your health. When you work from the right side of the brain, you can connect with the body. You can ask the body these questions. You can talk to the elementals to help you with maybe a tree that might not be doing well. Ask what it needs. Even speak to the tree. And so this skill is available to everyone. And I would greatly recommend that if it interests you at all, and I can tell you it's a great benefit, you might consider working with Richard on the ability to work from the right side of the brain. And Richard, while we have a couple minutes, I would like for you just to mention something that we are offering people with the Journey of the Soul as far as their lifetime that the soul chooses for them to explore, to find, to remember a skill, and you working with you from the right side of the brain.
You mean with the Key Past Life sessions? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we, as I mentioned in the email, one of the things that we have noticed is really how well these two pieces of the puzzle, you might say, fit together, because when you have completed a right brain magic session and been practicing some of those skills, it dovetails so beautifully into the Key Past Life sessions that Carolyn runs, because you are much more open and aware of those skills, and you more readily connect with the lifetime and the experiences that, in a sense, your soul is guiding you to, and Carolyn, in her own way, is guiding you to. But really, the unfolding of it is being directed by your soul. And so we realize that, in a way, doing a right brain magic session followed by a Key Past Life session brings enormous value to people. And it's been so much fun to see people take advantage of those two things together. So we decided to discount the combination of those things so that people would take advantage of that opportunity to marry these things together and open up these skills initially through the right brain magic session, but then connect with whichever lifetime, whichever aspect sent forth from your monad that your soul wants you to connect with in this lifetime to either give you some information or to set up a relationship where that aspect can work with you going forward to remind you of a skill or to give you some advice and guidance in this life. It's quite amazing the things that come forth in those sessions. And so, as I said, we package that up in that way. And so if this is of interest to you, connect with that. Go to the rightbrainmagic.com website and you'll see a special page that I've set up on that site for that combined offer of these two things together.
Thank you, Richard. You explained things so eloquently. We have 5 minutes that we can discuss anything we choose to. I would like to give a little bit of history how what happened when Richard and I started working from, well, I might say discover working from the right side of the brain. It was just such a fascinating thing because I have a park not too far from where I live, and we started connecting with a tree, a very old tree. And it was so interesting to go down there because this tree gave us information about the mothers that came with their children to the park, talked about the rocks that, or the stones that were located under the park, gave a history of what it was like a long time ago before so many people moved into the area. So just from that point of view, learning to work from the right side of the brain is so fascinating. And when Richard works, he works with the person's body, and the person learns how to ask the body what kind of foods they should be eating, what they should be eating less of, investigating when there is discomfort, what the body requires. I mean, that is information that's just so fascinating. And I wanted to bring that forth, Richard, because you do a great job with that.
Thank you, Carol. And it is kind of interesting, you know, when you come to understand that not only can you speak to the consciousness of your physical body, but the consciousness of all of the organs in your body individually. So, for example, if you have a kidney pain or something, you can ask that kidney, what's going on? What's the issue? Does it need some assistance in some way, whether it be energetically or dietary or whatever it is? And it'll tell you. It's quite fascinating. And it's something that we, Carolyn and I, use quite a lot dealing with the things that we've been dealing with. You know, she or I will speak with the consciousness of her heart or whatever it is. It's just quite fascinating stuff.
Yes, and something that we have noticed is when things occur in the body where an individual is uncomfortable with it, they, in the very early days, it's not set up as such great pains. And you see, part of the development of disease is that people aren't aware of the things that's going on in their body. They're not aware until something's shut down and needs medical attention. But when you're able to communicate with the body in the early stages, particularly, you can clear a lot of these things. And emotions have a great deal with what happens in the body, along with food that people are eating, what they're drinking. All of this has a great effect on the body. You know, we hear about how the mind and the soul and the physical body are all connected, and it is so true. Did you want to add anything to that, Richard? Or?
No, I think you've explained it very, very well. I must say one of the fascinating things that we have come across in doing this kind of work is the understanding that the crystals in the earth carry the history of the earth. So I suspect most people on this call will be aware that the history as it's reported and recorded is not actually very accurate. There's that saying that the history is written by the victors. And in a sense, that's true. And in quite a number of cases, it gets rewritten along the way to tell whatever particular story that those in power wish to tell. And so, for example, we've had come across some quite strong evidence that we actually did some work to validate that the final resting place for the body of Alexander the Great is in the United States. Hard to believe. But he confirmed that it's true. And, of course, the history, as it's recorded, claims that Columbus discovered America. Well, you know, we all know that that's really not true, that there's plenty of evidence of others coming, but the notion that Alexander the Great's body actually finished up in America, bizarre, and yet that's how it is. But so these sorts of aspects of history and also the truth of events around Atlantis and other things, all of these things are actually recorded by the crystals in the earth. And so all of that history is available and can be brought forth directly from those crystals when the time is right. Interesting notion. Huh?
Yes, it's fascinating. And I would say that it's not a belief that's widely held at all, that we have the ability to communicate with these different sources. And so, first of all, once you start communicating with them, it is just so fascinating. From the simple point of finding out what a tree that looks like it's dying requires to live and grow vigorously, to finding out what kind of fertilizer it needs, or if it has disease in some way, what to put on a favorite tree. It's just so remarkable. And part of it is we really don't accept the fact that we as human beings are connected to all forms of life, and all forms of life are connected to us. And there's one other area I want to mention that pet lovers might just love, is you can communicate with your cat or your dog. And we've had some interesting conversations. So, Richard, we have 3 minutes. And before we go, why don't you tell people one more time where they can find that information about the Right Brain Magic and the Key Past Lifetime, and also if people want to get on our mailing list, how they can do that.
Yes, to find that combined offer of the Right Brain Magic session and the Key Past Life session, just go to rightbrainmagic.com and you'll see an additional page on that site. It's just a two-page website. And the second one, it has the combined offer on it. And if people wish to register to be on our mailing list, just go to the 2012countdown.com and enter your name and email address on any page on that website, and you'll be added to the list. And I would just add one more thing about the Right Brain Magic skills, Carolyn, because, of course, they are the skills that you utilize in those extraordinary soul origin and history readings that you bring forth. There is no better illustration of those extraordinary skills, including the ability to see and feel and as well as hear in that extraordinary work that you do.
Thank you, Richard. Yes, I do feel blessed being able to do those things. I have 2 minutes, and so I just wanted to mention something. There was an individual that had a key past lifetime reading and was a healer in this life. And the soul connected him with another lifetime where even the skills were greater, and he could connect with that individual, another past life of his, and that individual offered their services to help this individual in his healing practice. That's a kind of an example of some of the things that people are finding that their soul is bringing to them, a message connecting with another past lifetime that's useful to them. So, Richard, it's time for us to say goodbye until next time.
Indeed. Well, thank you, Carolyn, for your wonderful work, and thank you, everyone, for joining us in this session tonight. Until next time.
Indeed. Until next time. Goodbye for now.